Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our study in the Gospel according to Luke. We are in chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. So please open your Bibles to Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. This is God's Word. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Martha thought she had a perfect argument. Martha was the one who ran the home. She was an administrator. She was a caregiver. And she had invited Jesus to eat there at their home. But in order to eat, she wasn't going to just pop some things in the microwave. But she was the kind of person who really wanted to prepare things, chopping things up in the kitchen and getting undoubtedly flour that needed to be kneaded, if you know what that means. She was somebody who worked in order to serve others. And there's a certain joy in that for people who are bent that way. There's a joy in the preparation and the planning. You think about what you're going to do. And I love to fix certain dishes for people because they love to eat them. Jesus is deserving of our best. So Martha wanted to fix him the best. And she is busily doing all these things that were needed in order to accomplish her goal, which was to put on a feast. Problem is, nobody was helping her. Her sister, who lived there, who's going to eat this meal, is sitting in the living room at Jesus' feet. She's looking up at him, hanging on his every word. And Martha gets angrier and angrier and angrier at the unfairness of this. She gets to sit in there and listen to the teacher, and I'm in here in the kitchen working all by myself. This is wrong. This is unjust. And so she goes in and she asks Jesus a question. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to come assist me." Does that seem like a reasonable request? Notice she didn't go in and say, "Mary, honey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need your help. Could you please come help me?" It was past that. She knew Mary. Okay? She knew that Mary didn't want to leave Jesus She wanted to listen to Jesus. She wanted to be close to Jesus. She was focused on Jesus. And so the idea of distracting her with something as mundane and practical as food, that just wasn't going to cut it. So she appeals straight to the top. She goes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Have you ever told God what to do? Martha does two things here that many of us who don't even have a Martha personality are guilty of. And that the first is asking the Lord, "Don't you care?" And what we really mean is not just "don't you care about this thing," but if you don't care about this thing, then do you just not care about me? In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep in the boat while there's a raging storm. And the disciples wake him up with the question, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Have you ever kind of wondered if God cares? If he cares about you? Because you've got this problem. You know what he can do to solve it. I mean, after all, he's got all power. So, God, for you, this would not be hard. Please, God, heal my sister. Heal my dad. Heal my child. Please, God, get me that job. I mean, we know God can, and so we can't understand why he doesn't. Unless, I guess, maybe he just doesn't care. Lord, don't you care? Okay, I have some good news for you. This is the truth, and it is from God because it's what his word teaches. God cares about you. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice, and Jesus is in your worth more than many sparrows. He cares about you. God cares about you. You need to know that. You need to write that down, and you need to ask God to write that on your heart. God cares about you. He really does. And God takes care of you. God takes care of you. You may not have everything you want. You may not have everything you think you need, but God promises that he will supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus. And everything we do have comes from him. "Well, I've got nothing." How did you say that? You've got breath. We've got air. You've got more blessings than you recognize. You have a tongue and lips and a brain, and that's how you were able to speak and say, "I don't have anything." You're just not using your brain correctly, but you've got one. You have the gift of language. You have so many blessings that in the worst of times, we are more blessed than we recognize. Now, God does take care of you. But you need to know that God does not care about everything that you care about. He cares about you. He cares for you. But he doesn't care about everything you care about. "Oh, God, this is so important. Please, this is really, really big." Maybe not. God's perspective is eternal. Our perspective, very finite. We don't see all the things that God is up to, but God is working out his purpose. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. God cared. God developed a plan in the lives of Moses and Aaron. But God said, when you go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, he's not going to do it right away. And it wasn't just because Pharaoh had a hard heart. It's because God said, I'm going to harden his heart so that I may display my glory. Which is more important, that my suffering not last any longer or that God be glorified in my circumstances? Which is more important? Some years ago, one of my sons was furious at one of the players on the UT football team. Just furious because the guy messed up. And he messed up at a crucial point. Despite that, the team continued to hang in there, and there was an opportunity later for the guy to redeem himself, and he blew it again. My son was upset with me as well, because I wasn't upset with him. I wouldn't get mad at the player who messed up. I said to my son, you need to be praying for that guy, because if he's your brother in Christ, he really needs encouragement right now. And if he's not your brother in Christ, this may be a crisis moment that God will help use to bring him to faith. But then he went to FCA at UT that week. And that guy not only had the gall to show up, but to share how God had used that experience to really break him, and that he almost dropped out of college as a result of his humiliation and feeling that he had completely let down not just his team, but the whole university, and how other believers had encouraged him to hang in there. He did go on to have a very good career with the team. But that experience wasn't just important for him. It was important for my son, who needed God to begin to break down the idol of sports idolatry in his heart. God uses our victories and our defeats, our struggles as well as our achievements. God is working out his purpose, and he works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. So, God can be glorified in ways that we would not choose, but God still knows our best. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? The things that people typically worry about. Things like, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? All the stuff that seems really important. Jesus says, if you're focused on that, you're focused on the wrong things. God takes care of his own.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what does it look like to seek first the kingdom of God? Well, let's talk about a couple of areas. Time-wise, do you need to spend more time reading the Bible and praying than anything else? No, not necessarily. You've got a lot of other things to do. But you should prioritize your time reading God's Word and praying so that everything else fits around that. And it will affect the way that you do everything else. One of the reformers said that he used to get up before dawn in order to spend an hour alone with the Lord. And he said, now, some days when I have a really demanding schedule and there's going to be a whole lot to do, I get up so I can spend 2 hours with God before I get started. Really? You got a tough day ahead, so you're going to get up 2 hours before everybody else? Why would he do that? Because he didn't want all those things crowding in during the day to cause him to neglect what normally would be an hour with the Lord before everybody else is up, and then time with God throughout the day. He wanted to be sure that the most important thing was taken care of. What about financially? The Bible teaches people to bring what's called the first fruits. That is to say, you don't try and figure out if you've got enough money at the end of the month to give what you had planned to give to the Lord's work. Instead, when you get your paycheck, the first thing you do is take out that portion which is devoted to the Lord. Why? Well, because that's God's money. No, all of it is God's money. That is your way of acknowledging that all of it is God's money and worshiping Him with your finances. I've heard numerous people who made it a practice of giving 10% say, I discovered when I began to do what God had convicted me to do that I could spend better and get more out of the 90% than I used to be able to out of 100%. It's true. I speak from experience. It's a wonderful thing when God blesses your finances. Doesn't mean you have to get rich. It just means God does amazing things. I've shared with you all some of the stories of just amazing, comical sometimes things that God did. The purple sneakers, okay? The various cars that I've been given over the years. God has provided over and over and over. I wanted a $38 pair of Sperry topsiders and a $12 pair of khakis. I needed 50 bucks. I didn't have 50 bucks. I didn't have a plausible prospect of getting 50 bucks anytime soon. I prayed. And someone who knew nothing about it was prompted by God that day to go to another friend of mine and say, I want you to give this to Jim Wood, and gave him $50 to give to me. How does that kind of thing happen? Let me tell you something. God knows what you need before you do. And God is a much better judge of what you need than you are. And so if you say, Lord, I would really like to have this, but you know best, and so I just ask you to do what is best, then you can say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Jesus said, He is the good shepherd who willingly laid down His life for the sheep. He loved you so much, He died to save you. And now He lives to bless you. He continually, as our high priest, intercedes for us, prays for us. You can trust Him. So, Martha was upset because she was distracted and focused on all these different things. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I can't believe you spoke to me that way. I am the Lord, and you just told me what I should do. That is disrespectful. Forget your meal. I'm taking Mary, and we're going out to eat. Is that what Jesus said? Of course not. Jesus said, you are worried and upset about many things. Now, by the way, that wasn't just many things regarding the meal preparation. Jesus knew Martha's heart. And I'll tell you something about people, including you. When we're upset, we may be focused on this, but actually a number of things have gone into that. You've heard the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back. There's usually stuff building up in us until all of a sudden we finally get to the point where it's like, I can't deal with this anymore. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? It's built up, built up, built up, built up, built up. Okay? That's why she didn't speak to Mary. She spoke to Jesus. Because Mary was impossible. Well, no, Martha, you're task-oriented. She's people-oriented. That's why she's in there sitting at Jesus' feet. Well, I can't help that she has that defect. Not a defect. It's a different personality type. And the world needs both kinds. But the world needs for Martha to quit trying to turn Mary into a task-oriented person. And Mary needs to stop wondering, what's wrong with Martha? All I did was spend the entire evening in the other room while she was working. Of course it didn't occur to me to offer to help. She always criticizes what I do when I'm in the kitchen, so I just gave up. Anybody recognizing this? Let me just tell you, we need to love one another. Jesus said, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus cared more about Mary than he did about Martha. No. But Jesus knew that Mary had, in this case, chosen something more important than all that stuff Martha was doing. And Martha needed to learn that. Did Jesus ever go without eating? Yeah. So much so that on one occasion, his mother and brothers came to try and take him away from his ministry because they thought he must have lost his mind because he was not taking meal breaks. Had Jesus lost his mind? No, he's doing the will of the Father. But food is important. Yes, it is. But it's not as important as the Word of God. The tempter would say, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus was hungry. But Jesus knew we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Mary had chosen what was better, and Jesus was not going to let it be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, you're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. May God grant us the ability to see ourselves truthfully and embrace his love for us, that we might love each other.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.